This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. Dave Glover Show on KMOX. Thanks for being with us. A few minutes past 4 p.m. So, as you know, if you listen often, Jared Young kind of rolled out his campaign on our show a few months ago. Good guy, really like him. Lucas Kuntz has been on, who's an independent, kind of going after Hawley. Josh Hawley has been invited, has thus far refused to be on the DGS, which I've always said, if you can't handle the DGS, man, you can't handle any radio show, because we're pretty welcoming, independent, and center of the road here. Joining us now is former Senator Jack Danforth. He was also special counsel to the U.S. Department of Justice, United States Ambassador to the U.N. 2004-2005, and he is on the show again. Senator, great to talk to you again. Thanks for being with us.
Good, Dave. Good to be with you.
So your whole family's a big deal. I graduated from WashU Law back in 90, came from a little town in Illinois and didn't know much about the Danforths, but learned a lot about. So thanks for everything you and your family have done in the area of public service.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. It means a lot.
So I see here that you're talking about the political system being broken. I couldn't agree more. Could you flesh that out for us a bit in your opinion?
I think a lot of people who are voting in this election would rather not vote or don't know what to do. It's a really bad choice. On the one hand, the Republican Party has departed radically from what it used to be. It used to be a party of fiscal responsibility. It used to be a party of respect for the Constitution. It used to be a party of strong national defense and reliable alliances. It's none of the above now. It's turned against all of that. On the other hand, as the Republican Party has moved very far to the right, the Democratic Party has moved very far to the left. And so people who are in the center, which I think is essential for the health of American politics, are left without a home. And this is why I'm supporting Jared Young in his campaign for the Senate as an independent. It to me is a way of making a statement. And the statement is, look, we've got to get back to our political moorings in our country, that it's unacceptable to be left with these two choices that we don't want. And so let's restore the center and restore historic Republican principles, hence Jared Young.
Senator, do you think that Donald Trump, when it comes to people moving to the fringes, do you think Donald Trump is the fire, or was he the gasoline on the fire? Was it already burning before he got here?
You know, I think historians would have to answer that question better than I can. A lot of people point to the Tea Party movement, which preceded Trump. But in my view, something radically different happened back in 2016 when Trump emerged on the scene. The Republican Party became a personality cult. And the personality cult was one that was given toward rage and us against them and good against evil. And it became, first of all, it broke up families, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's famous cases of Thanksgiving dinners and people won't speak to each other, which we can't let politics do that to us.
Amen.
Secondly, it's become dysfunctional. I mean, you see this in the United States Senate today. It's basically a dysfunctional place, and the reason for that is that there's no center, and the two sides have just gotten into warring camps.
Senator, I know at one point you supported Senator Hawley. Do you feel like you were fooled? What happened there?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I feel very disappointed. He's a very talented person, really. He's very, very smart, very well prepared for the job, and I had high hopes for him as adding real weight to the Senate. But he's gotten on this populist thing instead, and it's and to me the breaking point was January 6th, where he was the first one to object to the certification of the election, and so he was really responsible for convening the event, and then he went on national television and said the election would be determined on January 6th, which he knew wasn't true. Mm-hmm. And then he went out in front of the Capitol building, and he exhorted the mob. And so that was the breaking point for me. I think, you know, anybody who's sworn in as a senator or for any federal office for that matter takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And January 6th was a direct attack on the Constitution, on the peaceful transfer of power, on the legitimacy of the presidency, on the finality of court decisions. So it wasn't just, you know, a bunch of rambunctious people. It was really an attack on the constitutional order. And Josh Hawley was complicit in that, really a leader of that. So that was the breaking point for me.
Yeah, you and me as well. There are politicians who I like. There are politicians I don't care for. But Josh Hawley and J.D. Vance scare me a little because they are so very intelligent and they do know better.
Well, it's Josh really knew better. I mean, first of all, when he went on national TV and he said the election was going to be determined on January 6th, he absolutely knew better. First of all, he is, and by his own statement about himself, he is a constitutional scholar. He taught constitutional law at the University of Missouri Law School. So he knows as a matter of law that the election result could not have been changed on January 6th. And plus the fact that the objections were made only to Pennsylvania and Arizona, and if they could have been switched, which they could not have been, but if they could have been switched, it wouldn't have been enough electoral votes to change the results of the election. So it's really convening a mob for the sake of convening a mob. And as I said, it's the one thing that's unforgivable is to attack the Constitution. We can have difference, and we do, and I'm glad we do have differences of opinion on a whole range of issues and which party you tend to favor and how big government should be and so on and so forth. But the one thing that all of us, regardless of party, regardless of political ideology, all of us are committed to is our constitutional structure, which holds us together. So that was the terrible thing about January 6th. It was an attack on the Constitution.
Agreed. We're talking to former Senator Jack Danforth here. Jack, what is it that you see in Jared Young that makes you endorse him?
First of all, he's a good person. He is also very smart. He's a Harvard Law School graduate. On the issues, He would have been very comfortable in the Republican Party that I knew. He's fundamentally a conservative, as am I. He believes in fiscal responsibility. He believes in the private sector as opposed to big government. He believes in a national defense that's second to none. And he believes in the Constitution. And all of these are, to me, very, very important. So, yeah, Jared Young basically is a Republican of the sort that I was a part of. And, you know, going back to Ronald Reagan and the Bushes and people like Bob Dole and Howard Baker, with whom I served in the Senate, he would have been very comfortable as a Republican senator. But he's running on the what's called the Better Party. That's his ticket line. because the Republican Party now has been at least temporarily, I think temporarily, overtaken by the MAGA version. So he's running as an independent. And look, I mean, independent candidacies are a long shot, that's for sure. But on the other hand, let's say that you really want to vote for none of the above. Mm-hmm. Let's suppose that you're dissatisfied with what's going on in American politics, and you see your vote as a way of making a statement. Well, my way of making a statement is to support Jared Young.
Jack, you talk about the Republican Party and this maybe being a temporary phase. I take a lot of crap because I always say the last politician I was passionate about was Mitt Romney, even though I don't agree with everything. I'm an agnostic. He's a very religious person. But I like statesmen. I'm an institutionalist. I think they're there for a reason. And going all the way back to the Constitutional Congress, how can this be a temporary thing? What can we right-leaning independents do to bring it back to sanity?
Well, this is why I'm supporting Jared Young. I mean, that's the one thing I can think immediately that we can do. And the more votes we get, the better, as far as I'm concerned. But, first of all, I mean, a lot of politics has to do, in my view, with tone. Not so much positions on various policy matters, which are important, but mm-hmm. What's the tone of politics? And is it just anger and, you know, and just beating up on people and, identity politics on the left and grievance policies on the right? Or is it the politics is we got to live together as a country? So I think tone is more important than anything else. But I also think that it's important for America to have a responsible conservative party. And that's what the Republican Party has been throughout its history. And it has become something else now. It's neither responsible nor conservative. It's right wing. And there's a big difference between conservative and right wing. So, yeah, I think that there's a need for a responsible conservative party, and I think eventually we will have one again.
Senator, we appreciate your time, and again, thank you for your service. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
I like Jack.
That's great.
Yeah, Mark. I like Jack. I miss the Jacks.
That would love to hear more voices. Not more, there are a lot of them, but more people in office or running for election saying those
things. He makes a great point being about tone as opposed to policy. And you guys know this is true. You know me very, very well. I can absolutely disagree with you on policy and go get a beer. I might even disagree with you on policy and vote for the same candidate if there are things about that candidate that I like. What I have trouble with is the tone. I just cannot support someone who is all hate-filled and grievance-based, nor can I support someone who is just completely ideologically woke, although we all hate that term now, but we also know what it means when we say it. Both ends of the spectrum just lose me.
Your neighbor is not your enemy. Pretty good philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
That person that lives down the street or next door to you that might vote for a different person is not an enemy. They're your neighbor.
Yeah.
And you got to compromise. And that's the key word, right? That's the thing that disappears is the idea of compromise. Nobody wants to give. Like, no, we cannot give. We will only gain ground. We will not give any back. Well, then you're going to be constantly fighting.
Yeah.
Which is not helpful.
Agreed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I like Supertramp a lot more than I think I like Supertramp.
Me too.
Anytime they're on, I'm just like, yeah.
They rock.
I've said it so many times, but it's the junior high bus. having crushes on girls, having anxiety about book reports, Supertramp on playing on the bus. Do you guys have anything like that?
Like music on the bus?
Did you guys ride buses?
Yeah, we did.
For marching band, I did.
It always comes back to marching band.
Yeah.
He's like, I was ripped. I was looking good.
Could barely fit my abs on the bus, but I made it happen. You know, it's what I do.
That's funny. It was a big snort.
It was.
Stairway to Kevin.
All right, let's do something I saw on Twitter yesterday. I'm curious what you guys will think about it. But what do you think is the weirdest thing that society just accepts as normal?
Good question.
Like, we look past.
I'm so sick of those toxic men.
I'm sick of seeing trios of men slap and poke each other.
Yeah.
Hey, easy.
So, like, an example would be, like, this is one that it's probably not the one if I thought deep about it, but, like, here's one that stands out to me is, like, we're just talking to Jack Danforth. In politics, in the United States, 340 million people, we're supposed to believe that there are only two political views of the world.
That's a good one.
Coke or Pepsi. Like, and that's something we just accept as normal. Everywhere else in the world thinks we're freaks.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at us like, what's wrong with you guys? Why do you only have two?
Yeah, doesn't Israel, tiny little country, have like 12 political parties?
Yes. And then they form coalitions and all that. But I mean, like, that to me is something that's weird that we accept as normal because it impacts all of us. And I know it may be other things that you guys can think of, but I thought that was a really fascinating question because I think there are a lot of things that we just say, yeah, that's normal. We just kind of look past it. But if you think about it for a few minutes, you're like, man, that's kind of strange.
Hmm.
And that would be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm trying to think of one because I know, like, I feel like I can usually come up with a lot of these, but now I'm like, I can't think of one.
Oh, I'm thinking of like cereals and stuff. Like,
but that's the point. It doesn't have to be serious. There are a million things. Like, why are certain foods just for breakfast? When did we decide that I know this is my point. That's why I love the question.
Yeah.
Because, like, that to me, that's kind of strange. Like, nope. Eggs and bacon and sod, that's only in the morning. You don't do that or whatever.
As much as I love them and I'm a part of this, I wonder at how hugely important sports are. That seems
great
weird.
Point. No, it
is
adult people playing kids' games and making millions of dollars.
We could just expand that to entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? Because it's all of that's kind of under the same umbrella.
We are some bored monkeys.
We love people making fun noises in music.
Yep.
We love people pretending to be other people in movies. We love people playing games and following strange rules that someone made up 150 years ago.
COVID really messed me up on the movie industry.
Yeah.
Like, for example, there's a Joker sequel, right? Everyone agrees that it sucks. It's really bad. It had no reason to be made. No one asked for even the first one. And then they made a sequel to it that everybody hated. That movie cost $200 million to make. First of all, how is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, whatever it's like... And it really applies to like any movie, but especially like a really bad one. It's really hard for my mind, and maybe I'm just like being self-righteous or whatever, but it's really hard to not let my mind wander to like, what else could we have done in America with $200 million except for like that's more money than like schools need to run for like years.
Yeah. I feel that way about elections and the money that's spent on elections. Like, that is wild. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. Why do we allow a system
that's the best one yet.
Where money runs politics?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's 340 million of us. If we want to change it, we can easily change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.